Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a gripping tale titled, The Perfect Alibi. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 1, The Web of Lies. The rain pelted against the tall glass windows of Lila Connor's apartment, a relentless rhythm that mirrored the chaos in her mind. She stood in the center of her spacious living room, her hand trembling as she sipped wine from a crystal glass. The city skyline, illuminated by streaks of lightning, seemed like a cage of glittering bars, trapping her in the storm of her making. The soft buzz of her phone startled her. A message from Clara, "On my way." Lila smiled faintly. Clara had always been dependable, the type of friend who would drop everything for her. That made her useful, vital, even. Tonight, Clara wouldn't be the only one arriving. Maya, Naomi, and Evan would also be here, summoned with the same urgency. The plan was delicate, and the execution had to be flawless. They each held a piece of the alibi she so desperately needed, and Lila was ready to manipulate them all to keep her hands clean. Clara arrived first, her small frame dwarfed by the oversized trench coat she clutched around herself. Her hair was damp, sticking to her face in dark strands. "Lila, what's going on?" Clara asked, concern lacing her voice as she stepped inside. Lila forced her face into an expression of vulnerability, letting a single tear roll down her cheek. "I don't know what to do, Clara. They think I killed him." Clara's eyes widened. "Killed who?" "Daniel." "But you wouldn't."
"I didn't,"
Lila interrupted, her voice breaking just enough to sound genuine. She reached for Clara's hands, squeezing them tightly. "But the police think I did. I need you to believe me." Clara nodded instinctively, her loyalty overriding her doubt. That was Lila's first victory of the night. By the time Maya and Naomi arrived, the tension in the room was palpable. Maya strode in with her usual sharpness, her tailored blazer and confident gait a stark contrast to Naomi's frazzled appearance. Naomi hesitated in the doorway, her eyes darting nervously around the room. "What's this about?" Maya demanded, crossing her arms. Lila took a deep breath, positioning herself between the two women. "I've been accused of something horrible. Daniel is dead, and they think I'm involved." Maya raised an eyebrow, her lawyer's instincts kicking in. "What do they have on you?"
"I was at his house the night he died," Lila admitted, her voice trembling. "But I didn't kill him.
I swear, Maya, I didn't." Naomi looked away, fidgeting with her phone. Lila noticed the gesture and seized the moment. "Naomi, you know what it's like to be falsely accused, don't you? Remember when those rumors about your company spread? You were innocent then, just like I am now." Naomi flinched but nodded.
"Yeah, I guess."
Lila pressed on, her voice softer now.
"I need your help. All of you.
I need you to tell them I wasn't there. Just say I was here with you." Maya frowned.
"You're asking us to lie."
"Not lie," Lila said quickly.
"Just help me buy time. The truth will come out eventually.
But if I don't have an alibi now, they'll arrest me, Maya. Please." Evan arrived last, his clothes disheveled and his face pale. He looked at Lila, his expression a mixture of worry and something deeper, love or perhaps regret.
"Lila," he said quietly, stepping closer.
"What's happening?" Lila took his hand, pulling him into her orbit like a planet caught in her gravity.
"Evan, I need you.
I need all of you." She explained her version of the story, carefully omitting the parts that didn't serve her narrative. She painted herself as the victim of a jealous ex-husband who had made enemies in his ruthless climb to success. The more she spoke, the more their expressions softened, their doubts eroding under the weight of her performance. As the night wore on, the group fell into uneasy silence. Lila watched them carefully, reading their body language, noting their weaknesses. Clara's nervous glances, Maya's calculating frown, Naomi's bitten nails, Evan's lingering gaze,
All of it told her what she needed to know. They were malleable, fragile, and she was ready to mold them to her will. When Clara finally spoke, her voice was hesitant but resolute. "I'll do it. I'll say you were with me." "Me too," Evan said almost immediately. Naomi hesitated but eventually nodded.
"Fine.
But this better not come back to bite me." Maya was the last holdout. She looked at Lila for a long moment before sighing. "This is risky."
"Fine.
I'll do it." Lila exhaled, her shoulders sagging in relief. But inside, she felt a spark of triumph. They were in her hands now, whether they knew it or not. As they left one by one, Lila stood by the window, watching the rain streak down the glass. She allowed herself a small, satisfied smile. The web had been spun, and her friends were tangled in it. Now, all she had to do was make sure none of them wriggled free. Chapter 2: Cracks in the Foundation. The following morning, Clara sat at her kitchen table, her hands wrapped around a steaming mug of coffee. Sleep had eluded her all night. Lila's plea replayed in her mind like a broken record. Her loyalty to Lila had always been unwavering, but something about last night didn't sit right. She had never known Lila to be a liar, at least not to her. But Daniel's death, the urgency of her request, the inconsistency in her story, it all felt off. Clara reached for her phone and opened a search engine. She hesitated, then typed, "Daniel Connor's murder. Maya's doubts." Across town, Maya Patel sat in her office, surrounded by stacks of legal documents. Her mind, however, was far from work. She couldn't shake the feeling that Lila was hiding something. The confidence with which Lila had asked for an alibi was unsettling, almost too practiced. Maya leaned back in her chair, tapping her pen against her desk. She had agreed to Lila's request, but only because it bought her time to dig deeper. If Lila was lying, Maya wasn't going to let herself get dragged into the fallout. Pulling up Daniel's case file from her firm's legal database, Maya scanned through the preliminary report. One line stood out: "Victim's body discovered in the study. No signs of forced entry." Maya frowned. No forced entry meant the killer either had a key or had been let in willingly. Her gut told her to stay cautious. She closed the file and made a mental note to speak to her contact at the police department. Naomi's paranoia. Naomi West couldn't focus. Her office in the sleek downtown building felt stifling despite the panoramic view of the city. She had spent the morning pacing, her mind racing with possibilities. "What if this ruins me?" she muttered to herself, glancing at her reflection in the mirrored wall. She hated feeling cornered, and Lila's request had done exactly that. Naomi opened her laptop and logged into her secure server, pulling up her encrypted files. If Lila's story didn't hold up, she needed an exit strategy. She couldn't afford for her name or her company to be dragged through the mud. Her hands trembled as she typed a message to her private investigator. "Look into Lila Connors. Full background. Urgent. Evan's conflict." Evan Cross stood in his cramped studio apartment, staring at the blank canvas in front of him. His brushes and paints sat untouched. He hadn't painted in weeks, his creativity drowned by the weight of his financial struggles. And now Lila. He couldn't believe he had let himself get pulled back into her orbit. She had always been his weakness, the one person who could turn his resolve into dust with just a glance. But last night something had shifted. Lila's tears had felt real, but her story didn't. He replayed her words in his mind, searching for the holes he knew were there. "Why was she at his house that night?" he muttered to himself. "And why didn't she call the police right away?" Evan shook his head and grabbed his phone, scrolling to Lila's number. His thumb hovered over the call button before he set the phone down. He needed answers, but he wasn't ready to confront her. Not yet. The group begins to unravel. That evening, the group gathered again at Lila's apartment, this time at her insistence. The atmosphere was tense, the air heavy with unspoken doubts. "Thank you all for coming," Lila said, her voice soft and vulnerable as she handed out glasses of wine. She moved with deliberate grace, her every gesture designed to disarm. Maya leaned back in her chair, her sharp gaze fixed on Lila. You didn't call us here just to thank us. What's going on? Lila hesitated, her eyes darting between them. The police are asking questions. They think I had a motive because of the divorce settlement. But I didn't do it, Maya. You have to believe me. I do, Maya said evenly. But you haven't told us everything, have you? The room went silent. Naomi shifted uncomfortably. Clara stared at her lap, and Evan looked at Lila with a mixture of concern and suspicion. What are you talking about? Lila asked, her voice trembling just enough to sound genuine. The insurance policy, Maya said, folding her arms. Daniel's life insurance was worth millions. And guess who the sole beneficiary is? Lila's face paled, but she recovered quickly. Of course I'm the beneficiary. We were still technically married. But that doesn't mean I killed him. Naomi spoke up, her voice unsteady. But you were at his house the night he died, weren't you? I told you, Lila said, her tone sharpening. I went there to talk about finalizing the divorce. He was alive when I left. Then why didn't you call the police when you heard he was dead? Evan asked, his voice quiet but firm. Lila looked at him, her eyes brimming with tears. Because I was scared. I knew how it would look. And now you're all starting to doubt me too. She turned away, letting a single tear roll down her cheek. The silence that followed was heavy, filled with the weight of their collective uncertainty. A seed of betrayal. Later that night, as the others left, Maya stayed behind. She watched Lila carefully, waiting for the right moment. Why didn't you tell us about the insurance money? Maya asked, her voice low. I didn't think it mattered, Lila replied, her back to Maya as she cleared the wine glasses. It matters, Maya said, stepping closer. If you want us to help you, you need to tell us everything. No more secrets. Lila turned to face her, her expression unreadable. Are you threatening me, Maya? Maya held her gaze, her lawyer's instincts flaring. Not yet. But if I find out you're lying, I'll protect myself. Don't forget that. Lila smiled faintly, but there was no warmth in it. I'll keep that in mind. As Maya walked out, Lila's smile faded. She stood in the dimly lit room, her mind racing. The cracks in her carefully constructed alibi were beginning to show. But cracks could be filled. And if her friends continued to question her, she knew exactly how to handle them. The perfect alibi. Chapter 3. The tightening grip. The following morning, the sun struggled to break through the gray clouds, casting a muted light over the city. Inside Lila's apartment, the atmosphere was even darker. She sat at her dining table, scrolling through the messages on her phone. The group was unraveling faster than she anticipated. Clara had texted her at dawn, asking for clarification on details of her story. Maya's probing questions from the previous night lingered like a bruise. And then there was Naomi, paranoid, unpredictable Naomi, who hadn't said much but whose silence felt like a ticking bomb. Lila exhaled, setting her phone down. She had to regain control and quickly. There was no room for hesitation. If they were starting to doubt her, she would remind them why they couldn't afford to. Clara's growing doubts. Clara sat on a park bench, staring at the folded newspaper in her hands. The headline blared. New evidence emerges in Connor's murder case. According to the article, the police had discovered surveillance footage from the street near Daniel's house, showing Lila's car parked outside for hours longer than she had claimed. Clara's stomach churned. Lila had sworn she'd only been at Daniel's for a short time, just long enough to talk about the divorce. But this looked damning. She hesitated, then pulled out her phone and texted Maya. We need to talk. Alone. Maya's investigation. Maya was already steps ahead. She sat in a dimly lit bar, nursing a glass of whiskey as she flipped through the notes she'd jotted down from Daniel's case file. Her contact at the police department had confirmed the existence of the surveillance footage. They hadn't released it to the public yet, but it was enough to put Lila under increased scrutiny. Her phone buzzed with Clara's text. Maya smiled faintly. She had suspected Clara would crack first. The woman was too soft, too emotionally attached to Lila. But if Clara was ready to talk, it meant the balance was shifting. She typed back, "Meet me at my office in an hour. Don't tell Lila." Naomi's paranoia intensifies. Naomi paced her luxurious penthouse, her mind racing. She had spent the morning combing through the private investigator's report. It didn't reveal much she didn't already know about Lila. Manipulative, charming, always skating just close enough to the edge without falling over. But one detail stood out: a series of large cash withdrawals from Lila's account in the months leading up to Daniel's murder. It didn't prove anything, but it added to the growing pile of questions. She considered calling Lila, but something stopped her. Instead, she opened her encrypted email and sent a message to her lawyer. "I need to know how to protect myself if I'm implicated in this. Confidential." Evan's struggle. Evan sat in front of his canvas, brush in hand but unable to focus. His mind kept wandering back to Lila. He hated himself for still feeling drawn to her, even now. She had a way of making him feel needed, of pulling him into her orbit no matter how much he wanted to escape it. He glanced at his phone, rereading the message she had sent earlier. "I need to see you. Tonight." Part of him wanted to say no, to cut ties before things spiraled further out of control. But another part, the part that still loved her, couldn't resist. He replied, "I'll be there." A dangerous game. That evening, the group gathered once again at Lila's apartment. The tension was palpable, each of them carrying the weight of their private doubts. Lila noticed immediately. She could feel their distrust like static in the air. "Thank you for coming," she said, her voice warm but firm. "I know things have been difficult, but I need all of you now more than ever." Maya leaned back in her chair, her expression unreadable. "Do you, Lila? Or do you just need us to keep covering for you?" The room went silent. Clara looked down at her hands, Naomi glanced toward the door, and Evan shifted uncomfortably. "I don't know what you're implying," Lila said, her tone icy. "I'm saying you haven't been honest with us," Maya replied. "The footage, Lila. They have footage of your car outside Daniel's house for hours. Care to explain?" Lila's jaw tightened. She hadn't expected the footage to surface so soon. "I was there longer than I said," she admitted, her voice steady. "But that doesn't mean I killed him. We argued and I left. I was too embarrassed to tell you the truth." "And the life insurance policy?" Maya pressed. "I didn't know about it until after he died," Lila said. "You think I'd kill him for money? You know me better than that." "Do we?" Naomi asked, her voice trembling. Lila turned to her, her eyes narrowing. "Do you really want to start questioning me, Naomi? Should I remind you about the offshore accounts your board doesn't know about? Or the investor you scammed last year?" Naomi's face went pale. "You wouldn't." "Try me," Lila said softly, turning the tables. The conversation shifted after that, the balance of power firmly back in Lila's hands. Maya and Clara exchanged uneasy glances, but neither spoke up. Naomi avoided eye contact entirely. Evan, as always, sat quietly, torn between his doubts and his loyalty. As they left, Lila walked Evan to the door. She touched his arm, her eyes searching his. "Thank you for believing in me," she said softly. "I'm not sure I do," Evan admitted. Lila's smile faltered, but only for a moment. "You will," she whispered. The aftermath. Later that night, Lila stood by the window, watching the city lights flicker in the darkness. She knew the cracks were there, but she also knew how to patch them. Each of her friends had a weakness, and she would exploit them all if necessary. But for the first time, doubt crept into her mind. The game was getting riskier, and the stakes were higher than ever. She couldn't afford to lose. Not now. Chapter 4. The Puppet Master Revealed. The heavy sound of rain against the windows set an ominous tone in Maya Patel's office. The dim light of her desk lamp illuminated the files spread out before her. Clara sat across from her, nervously tapping her fingers on the edge of the desk. "You're sure about this?" Clara asked, her voice shaky. Maya nodded, sliding a document toward her. "This is everything I've been able to gather. Surveillance footage, financial records, Daniel's will. It all points to one thing, Clara. Lila isn't just lying. She's orchestrating this entire situation." Clara stared at the evidence, her heart sinking. She had known Lila for years, but now she couldn't deny the truth that was unraveling before her. "What do we do?" Maya leaned back in her chair, her sharp eyes narrowing. "We stop being her pawns. But first, we need to figure out her endgame, Naomi's breaking point." Meanwhile, Naomi paced her penthouse, the walls closing in on her. She had spent the day going over the private investigator's report and the conversation from the night before. Lila's veiled threats replayed in her mind. Her phone buzzed on the counter. It was a message from Lila. "We need to talk. Come over tonight." Naomi hesitated, her fingers trembling as she stared at the screen. She felt trapped, but ignoring Lila wasn't an option. She replied, "I'll be there." Evan's loyalty tested. Evan arrived at Lila's apartment first, his hands shoved deep into his jacket pockets. She greeted him with a warm smile, but he noticed the strain behind her eyes. "Thanks for coming," she said, guiding him inside. The apartment was immaculate, as always, but something about it felt cold. "Lila," he began hesitantly, "I need to know the truth. Were you involved in Daniel's death?" Her smile vanished. She stepped closer, her voice dropping to a whisper. "Evan, how can you even ask me that? I loved Daniel once. I would never hurt him. But the footage. I panicked, okay?" She cut him off, her voice cracking. "I didn't want anyone to know how long I was there. We argued and I left. I didn't kill him, Evan. You have to believe me." Evan's resolve wavered. She looked so vulnerable, so genuine. Against his better judgment, he nodded. "Thank you," she whispered, brushing her hand against his arm. "I don't know what I'd do without you." The confrontation. By the time Naomi and Maya arrived, the tension in the room was palpable. Lila stood in the center, radiating calm authority. Clara followed close behind. Her expression conflicted. "What's this about?" Maya asked, her tone sharp. Lila smiled faintly, gesturing for them to sit. "I wanted to clear the air. I know things have been tense, and I don't want any misunderstandings to come between us." "Misunderstandings?" Maya scoffed. "You mean the lies you've been feeding us?" Lila's expression darkened. "Careful, Maya. Accusations like that can have consequences." "Is that a threat?" Maya shot back. "Of course not," Lila said smoothly. "I just want us to work together. For all our sakes." Naomi, her nerves frayed, finally spoke up. "I can't keep doing this, Lila. I don't know what's true anymore." Lila turned to her, her gaze softening. "Naomi, I understand your fears. But you've been in worse situations than this. Remember the lawsuit against your company? Who stood by you then?" Naomi flinched, guilt flickering across her face. "And Maya," Lila continued, her voice growing colder. "You've been digging into my life, haven't you? I wonder how your firm would react if they found out about your little affair with a judge last year." Maya's eyes widened, her confidence faltering for the first time. Lila's gaze swept over the group, landing on Clara. "And you, Clara. Sweet, loyal Clara. Do you think your students' parents would be so forgiving if they knew about your DUI last summer?" Clara's face went pale, tears brimming in her eyes. The group fractures. Silence filled the room as Lila's words sank in. She had turned their secrets into weapons, and the group realized just how tightly she had them in her grasp. "You've been playing us," Maya said finally, her voice shaking with anger. "This whole time." Lila smiled faintly. "I've been protecting myself. You would have done the same in my position." "But you lied," Clara whispered, her voice trembling. "About everything." Lila stepped closer to her, her tone softening. "Not everything. I swear, Clara, I didn't kill Daniel. But if you don't help me, the police will pin this on me, and I'll go to prison for something I didn't do. Is that what you want? Clara looked away, tears spilling down her cheeks. Calculated victory. As the group left one by one, Lila stood by the window, watching the rain streak down the glass. She knew she had pushed them to their limits, but it was necessary. Her grip on them was fragile, but for now it held. She had neutralized Maya's aggression, silenced Naomi's paranoia, and kept Clara's loyalty intact. Evan, as always, was her safety net, too blinded by his feelings to see the truth. But Lila wasn't naive. She knew the cracks were still there, waiting to widen. She would have to act quickly to secure her position. For now, though, she allowed herself a small, triumphant smile. The puppet master was still in control. Chapter 5. The Mask Slips. The following days were a careful balancing act for Lila. Each interaction with her friends felt like walking a tightrope, the slightest misstep threatening to send everything tumbling down. She spent her days crafting messages, making phone calls, and rehearsing her lines. At night, she lay awake, staring at the ceiling, her mind racing with contingency plans. She had controlled them all for so long, but now, the cracks in her facade were becoming more difficult to ignore. The problem wasn't just their growing doubts. It was her own fear that she couldn't keep them in line forever. Naomi's gamble. Naomi West was done being a pawn in Lila's game. After their last confrontation, she had spent hours pacing her apartment, torn between her fear of Lila's threats and her need to regain control of her own life. She decided it was time to take a risk. She contacted her private investigator again, asking him to dig deeper, not just into Lila's past, but into Daniel's death. She needed hard evidence, something that could shift the power dynamic back in her favor. That evening, her investigator called back. "I found something," he said. Daniel Connors made a call to 911 the night he died. The recording hasn't been released, but my source says it mentions Lila by name. Naomi's heart raced. What did he say? Just one word, Lila. The call disconnected before he could say more. It wasn't enough to convict her, but it was enough to plant a seed of doubt. Naomi decided to confront Lila directly, but this time she would be prepared. Clara's guilt. Clara sat in her classroom during lunch break, her hands trembling as she graded papers. She couldn't focus. The weight of her complicity in Lila's lies was crushing her. Every time she looked at her students, she felt like a fraud. How could she teach them about honesty and integrity while she was helping Lila cover up a murder? She picked up her phone and hesitated before dialing Maya. When the lawyer answered, Clara's voice was shaky. "I don't think I can do this anymore," she said. "Good," Maya replied. "Because I think I've found a way to expose her." Evan's weakness. Evan Cross stared at his latest painting, a chaotic swirl of dark colors and sharp lines. It was unlike anything he had ever created, but it felt like the only way to express the storm brewing inside him. Lila had called him again, asking him to come over. He wanted to say no, to finally break free of her hold, but he couldn't. He still loved her even after everything. When he arrived at her apartment, she greeted him with a strained smile. "You're the only one I can trust, Evan," she said, pulling him into a hug. "You can trust me," he replied, but the words felt hollow. She poured them both glasses of wine and led him to the couch. "I know the others are starting to doubt me," she said, her voice trembling. "But I need you to believe in me. You're the only one who truly knows me." Evan nodded, his resolve crumbling under the weight of her gaze. He wanted to believe her. He needed to. The confrontation. That evening, Naomi, Maya, and Clara gathered at Maya's office. Naomi shared what her investigator had found, and Maya laid out the evidence she had collected. "We have enough to go to the police," Maya said. Clara hesitated. "But what if she really didn't do it? What if we're wrong?" "We're not wrong," Naomi said firmly. "She's been playing us this whole time. It's time to put an end to it." They decided to confront Lila together, hoping to force a confession, or at least expose the truth. Trap. Lila was surprised when all three women showed up at her apartment that night. She greeted them cautiously, her eyes flicking between their tense expressions. "What's going on?" she asked, feigning innocence. Maya stepped forward, her gaze steely. "We know about the 911 call, Lila. Daniel said your name before he died." Lila froze for a fraction of a second before recovering. "Course he did. We were arguing that night. He probably thought I'd come back, but I didn't. You know I didn't." Naomi crossed her arms. "And what about the surveillance footage? You were there for hours, not minutes. What were you doing all that time?" "I already told you," Lila said, her voice sharpening. "We argued. I stayed to calm down before driving home." "That's not a crime." "Then why did you lie about it?" Maya demanded. Lila's eyes narrowed. "Because I knew you'd all react like this. Questioning me, doubting me. After everything I've done for you." "You've done nothing for us," Naomi snapped. "You've used us, manipulated us, and now we're done playing your games." Lila's expression hardened. "You think you can turn against me? After everything I know about you. Go ahead.
Why?
See who the police believe." For a moment, the room was silent, the tension thick enough to cut with a knife. Then Clara spoke, her voice trembling. "Lila, did you kill him?" Lila looked at her, her eyes unreadable. "I didn't," she said softly. "But if you don't help me, I'll go to prison anyway." "Is that what you want?" Clara's resolve wavered, but Maya stepped forward. "You're lying, Lila. And we're done covering for you. If you think you can blackmail us, think again. We've already gathered enough evidence to protect ourselves." Lila's calm facade cracked. For the first time, she looked genuinely afraid. "You don't know what you're doing," she said, her voice shaking. "No," Maya said. "You don't." Desperate move. As the women left, Lila stood frozen in the doorway, her mind racing. They were slipping out of her control, and she couldn't let that happen. She poured herself a glass of wine and sat in the dark, staring out at the city lights. She needed a new plan, and she needed it fast. Her mask was slipping, but the game wasn't over yet. Chapter 6. The Betrayal. The city was blanketed in an eerie quiet the next morning, the kind that always followed a heavy storm. Inside Lila Connor's apartment, the atmosphere was anything but calm. She paced the room, her thoughts spiraling. Her once loyal friends were turning against her, and for the first time, she felt her control slipping away. She poured herself a cup of coffee, her hands trembling as she sipped. "They think they can outsmart me. After everything I've done for them." Lila's lips curled into a bitter smile. "They've underestimated me. Maya takes action." Maya Patel wasn't one to wait. After their confrontation with Lila, she had driven straight to her office, where she sat surrounded by files and legal notes. Every instinct told her to go to the police with what they had, but something stopped her. "Not yet," she murmured to herself, her fingers tapping on the desk. "I need more." She picked up her phone and called her contact at the police department. "I need a favor," she said. "Any updates on the Connors case?" The officer on the other end hesitated. "Nothing concrete, but there's something strange about the 911 call. We think it was cut off deliberately." Maya's heart skipped a beat. "By who?" "We're still investigating. But if you have anything, Maya, now's the time to share it." Maya hung up, her mind racing. Lila's web of lies was starting to unravel, but the question remained. How much of it was true? Naomi's desperation. Naomi West stared at the email draft on her laptop, her finger hovering over the send button. The message was addressed to the lead detective on the Connors case, outlining everything she knew about Lila's involvement. But her hand froze. If she sent this, it would mean burning every bridge she had left with Lila. And what if Lila retaliated? She had dirt on Naomi that could ruin her career and her company. Naomi slammed the laptop shut and leaned back in her chair, tears welling in her eyes. "What am I doing?" she whispered. Her phone buzzed with a message from Lila. "I need to see you. Tonight." Naomi's stomach twisted. She knew it was a trap, but she couldn't ignore it. Evan's dilemma. Evan Cross sat in his cramped studio, staring at the blank canvas before him. His mind was a whirlwind of conflicting emotions. He wanted to believe Lila was innocent, but the evidence, and the growing doubts of the others, painted a different picture. When his phone rang, he hesitated before answering. "Evan," Lila's voice came through, soft and trembling. "I need you." "What do you want, Lila?" he asked, his voice tinged with exhaustion. "Just come over," she pleaded. "Please. I can't do this without you." Against his better judgment, he agreed. The meeting. That night, Naomi, Maya, and Evan arrived at Lila's apartment, each of them wary and on edge. Lila greeted them with a strained smile, her eyes darting between them. "Thank you for coming," she said, leading them into the living room. Naomi and Maya exchanged uneasy glances. Evan, as always, lingered close to Lila, his loyalty still intact despite everything. Lila sat down, folding her hands in her lap. "I know things have been difficult," she began, "but I need you to trust me. I didn't kill Daniel." "Then tell us the truth," Maya said, her voice cold. "I have told you the truth," Lila insisted, "but I know how this looks. That's why I need your help. If we stick together, we can get through this." "Stick together," Naomi snapped. "You've been manipulating us from the start." Lila's eyes flashed with anger. "I've been protecting myself. And if you had any sense, you'd do the same." "What are you protecting yourself from, Lila?" Maya asked, leaning forward. "The truth." The room fell silent. "The bombshell." Before Lila could respond, Maya pulled out a folder and tossed it onto the coffee table. "This is everything we have on you," she said. "The surveillance footage, the financial records, even the 911 call." Lila's face remained calm, but her knuckles whitened as she gripped the armrest of her chair. "And what do you plan to do with it?" "Take it to the police," Maya said. "Unless you come clean." Lila let out a cold laugh. "You think they'll believe you over me? You're just as implicated in this as I am. All of you." Naomi flinched, her earlier confidence crumbling. Evan looked at Lila, his expression a mixture of confusion and betrayal. "What do you mean?" Clara asked, her voice trembling. Lila stood, her gaze sweeping over them like a predator assessing its prey. "Do you think I don't know your secrets? If I go down, you're all coming with me." "Power shift." Maya stood, her jaw clenched. "We're not afraid of you anymore, Lila. Do what you want. We'll deal with the fallout, but we're done being your pawns." Naomi hesitated, then nodded. "He's right. This ends now." Evan remained silent, his loyalty to Lila wavering for the first time. Lila's calm facade cracked. For a moment, she looked genuinely afraid. But then she smiled, a cold, dangerous smile. "You think you've won," she said softly. "You have no idea what I'm capable of." As they left, one by one, Lila stood by the window, her mind racing. She was losing control, and she knew it. But the game wasn't over yet. Chapter 7, The Final Move. Lila Connors woke to the sound of her phone vibrating on the nightstand. Her eyes, bloodshot from another sleepless night, scanned the screen. A message from Naomi. "We're done covering for you. Whatever happens now, it's on you." Lila's stomach tightened, her carefully constructed world crumbling faster than she could repair it. She tossed the phone aside and sat on the edge of the bed, her mind racing. She had always been the one in control, the one pulling the strings. But now her friends, her pawns, were slipping out of her grasp. Her next move had to be bold, decisive, and ruthless. If they thought they could outmaneuver her, they were wrong. Clara's fear. Clara sat in her small, cluttered apartment, staring at the evidence Maya had shared. Surveillance footage, bank statements, and a partial transcript of Daniel's 911 call. It all painted a damning picture of Lila. She had spent years idolizing Lila, believing her to be a strong, loyal friend. But now, Clara saw her for what she really was. A master manipulator who had used her kindness as a weapon. Her phone buzzed and she jumped. It was a call from Lila. For a moment, she considered ignoring it, but guilt and curiosity won out. "Hello, Clara," Lila's voice was soft, almost pleading. "Can we talk? Just the two of us." Clara hesitated. "Lila, I don't think I can." "Please," Lila interrupted, her voice cracking. "Need you. You're the only one I can trust." Against her better judgment, Clara agreed to meet her. Maya and Naomi's plan. Maya and Naomi met in a quiet corner of a downtown cafe. Their voices hushed as they discussed their next steps. "We have enough to go to the police," Maya said, tapping her finger on the folder of evidence. "The question is, do we trust them to handle it?" Naomi frowned, her anxiety evident. "What if Lila finds out? You saw how she turned on us. She'll destroy us if she gets the chance." "She's already trying," Maya replied. "But the only way to stop her is to expose her before she can retaliate." They decided to take the evidence to the lead detective on the Connors case, hoping it would be enough to force Lila into a corner. Evan's revelation. Evan sat in his studio, staring at the half-finished painting on his easel. His phone buzzed with a message from Lila. "I need to see you. Tonight." He had always been her safety net, the one person she could count on to support her no matter what. But now, even he was beginning to see through her. He thought back to the night Daniel died, to the argument he and Lila had had just days before. She had been angry, volatile, more so than he had ever seen her. A memory surfaced, unbidden. Lila muttering something about how Daniel deserved what was coming to him. At the time, he had dismissed it as a moment of frustration. But now it felt like a clue he had missed. Evan picked up his phone and replied, "I'll come, but I need answers." The confrontation. That evening, Lila invited Clara to her apartment. The atmosphere was tense, the air heavy with unspoken words. "I know you're scared," Lila began, her voice soft and reassuring. "But you don't have to be. Everything I've done to protect myself. And to protect you." Clara looked down at her hands, guilt and confusion etched across her face. "I don't know if I can believe you anymore, Lila. The others. They think you're lying." Lila reached across the table, taking Clara's hands in hers. "Do you trust them more than me? After everything we've been through." Clara hesitated, and in that moment, Lila saw her opening. "They're not your friends, Clara. They're using you, just like they're using this so-called evidence against me. But you and I, we've always been there for each other. Don't let them come between us." Clara's resolve wavered, but before she could respond, there was a knock at the door. The unraveling. Maya and Naomi stood in the hallway, a sense of purpose in their eyes. Lila opened the door, her expression shifting from surprise to a calculated calm. "What do you want?" she asked, her voice icy. "We're here to end this," Maya said, stepping inside without waiting for an invitation. Naomi followed, her gaze darting nervously around the room. When she spotted Clara, her face softened. "Clara, you don't have to do this. You know she's lying." Clara looked between them, her loyalty to Lila battling with the truth she could no longer ignore. "Get out," Lila snapped, her composure cracking. "You think you can just barge in here and accuse me of... of murder?" Maya interrupted. "That's exactly what we're doing." She tossed the folder of evidence onto the coffee table. "This is everything we've gathered. The footage, the 911 call, your financial records. It's over, Lila." Lila's hands trembled as she flipped through the pages, her mind racing. But instead of fear, a cold determination settled over her. "You think this is enough to stop me?" she said, her voice low and menacing. "You have no idea what I'm capable of." Fatal mistake. Before anyone could react, Lila reached into a drawer and pulled out a gun, the cold metal glinting in the dim light. "Lila, no!" Clara screamed, backing away. "You think you can destroy me?" Lila hissed, her voice shaking with rage. "You don't get to win. Not after everything I've done to survive." Maya held up her hands, her voice calm but firm. "Put the gun down, Lila. It's over." "No," Lila said, her eyes wild. It's just beginning. The breaking point. In the chaos that followed, Lila's control slipped entirely. Evan arrived just in time to see her unravel, the gun still in her hand. "Lila," he said softly, stepping closer. "You don't have to do this." For a moment, her gaze softened. But then her eyes hardened again and she raised the gun. The sound of a single gunshot shattered the tension. When the smoke cleared, Lila lay on the floor, her own weapon slipping from her hand. Evan stood over her, his hands trembling, the small revolver he had brought for protection still in his grasp. The aftermath. The police arrived minutes later, the scene chaotic and surreal. Maya and Naomi gave their statements, detailing everything they knew. Clara sat silently, tears streaming down her face. Evan was taken into custody, but it was clear to everyone that he had acted in self-defense. As they watched Lila's body being taken away, Maya whispered. She thought she could control everything. But in the end, she couldn't even control herself. Naomi nodded, her expression haunted. "It's finally over." But as they walked away, a lingering question hung in the air. What secrets had Lila taken with her to the grave? Chapter 8. Truth and Consequences. The morning after the chaotic events in Lila Connor's apartment, the city was alive with whispers of her downfall. News outlets splashed her name across headlines. Socialite at the center of murder scandal dies in shocking standoff. But for those who had been closest to her, the story wasn't over. It had only shifted into a new, haunting chapter. Evan's redemption. Evan Cross sat in a dimly lit interrogation room, his hands cuffed to the table. The events of the night before played on a loop in his mind. Lila's wild eyes, the deafening gunshot, her body crumpling to the floor. He felt the weight of the revolver in his hand as if it were still there. A detective entered, breaking the silence. "Mr. Cross, the evidence supports self-defense. The DA isn't pressing charges, but you'll need to testify about everything that happened." Evan nodded, his voice hoarse. "I'll tell the truth. For once, I'll tell the whole truth." As he left the station later that day, the weight on his chest didn't lift. Lila might be gone, but her ghost would haunt him for the rest of his life. Maya's resolve. Maya Patel stood in her office, staring at the folder of evidence that had once felt like her greatest weapon. With Lila dead, it was now a grim reminder of how close she had come to losing control of her life. Her phone buzzed. It was a message from the lead detective on the Connors case. "Thank you for your cooperation. The case is now officially closed." Maya placed the folder in a drawer, locking it away. She had survived Lila's manipulations, but the scars ran deep. For the first time in years, she felt vulnerable and human. Before leaving her office, she made a promise to herself. She would never allow anyone to wield that kind of power over her again. Naomi's retreat. Naomi West sat alone in her penthouse, nursing a glass of wine as she stared out at the city skyline. The chaos of the past weeks had left her drained, and though Lila was gone, the fear lingered. Her lawyer had assured her that Lila's threats would die with her, but Naomi knew better. Secrets had a way of surfacing, even when buried deep. She opened her laptop and deleted every email, file, and message related to Lila. Then she sent a final email to her board of directors. "I'll be taking an extended leave of absence effective immediately." Naomi closed the laptop and leaned back, exhaling shakily. She didn't know what her future held, but she knew it was time to rebuild. Clara's guilt. In her quiet suburban home, Clara Simmons sat at her dining table, staring at a letter she had written but couldn't bring herself to send. It was addressed to the school board, her resignation spilling across the page in shaky handwriting. She had always been the quiet, dependable one, the one who believed in the best of people. But her involvement with Lila had shattered that image. She felt complicit, even though she had never directly lied for Lila. The phone rang, breaking her thoughts. It was Maya. "How are you holding up?" Maya asked. Clara hesitated. "I don't know. I feel lost." "We all do," Maya said. "But you're stronger than you think, Clara. Don't let Lila's choices define you. Clara hung up, wiping away tears. The letter remained on the table, unsigned. The fallout. In the days that followed, the police pieced together the details of Daniel Connor's murder. Evidence from Maya and Naomi pointed to Lila's likely guilt, but without a confession, the case remained officially unresolved. The media latched onto the story, painting Lila as a tragic, manipulative figure who had spiraled out of control. Her name became synonymous with betrayal, her legacy tarnished by secrets and lies. For those she had left behind, the damage was personal. Trust was broken, friendships shattered, and the weight of what they had endured lingered. A final revelation. Months later, Maya received an envelope in the mail with no return address. Inside was a handwritten note. "I always knew you'd try to take me down, but I was always one step ahead. Enjoy living with the consequences. L." Maya's heart raced as she turned the envelope over, finding a small key taped to the back. It was labeled Storage Unit 43. She debated for hours before deciding to visit the storage facility. Inside the unit, she found boxes of files, recordings, and photographs, evidence of Lila's manipulations spanning years. But there was more. A folder labeled Final Plan. Inside were detailed notes outlining how Lila intended to frame Maya, Naomi, Clara, and even Evan for Daniel's murder if her original plan failed. Maya's blood ran cold. Even in death, Lila had managed to exert her control. The lasting impact. The storage unit contents were handed over to the police, bringing closure to Daniel's murder case. But for Maya, Naomi, Clara, and Evan, the scars left by Lila Connors would never fully heal. Each of them carried the weight of her manipulation in their own way, their lives forever altered by the web of lies she had spun. As the city moved on, so did they. One step at a time, rebuilding their lives in the shadow of a woman who had once been their friend, their confidant, and their greatest threat. Epilogue. The ghost of Lila Connors. In a dusty storage room of the local courthouse, a file labeled Connors' case sat unopened. Inside was a photograph of Lila, her enigmatic smile frozen in time. Her story wasn't just one of betrayal. It was a cautionary tale of how far someone would go to maintain control. And for those who had survived her, it was a reminder that some ghosts never truly leave.